Bibles tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. We shall read a few verses from Ecclesiastes and then just one verse from 1 Timothy 4. Stand, if you will, out of love and respect for the Word of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I'll begin to read in verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And it's important that you understand what the Lord is saying here. He's using irony here to get across His truth. He's saying, listen up, young man, young people, in the days of your youth. You can live for fun and good days and happy times. You can walk in the ways of your heart. You can do what you feel like. You can walk in by sight and lust after this and run after this, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. It says if you don't deal with these things, you'll waste your youth. Childhood and youth without a right relationship with God is waste. And then he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day comes not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I want you to notice that statement. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The days of thy youth. And then I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on that subject, the days of our youth. And you say, are you preaching to young people? I'm preaching to both young people and their parents and future parents. You can learn from the Word of God whether you're a young person or a parent. And both of you have to do with the lives of our young people. And it's important that we learn instruction from the Word of God. God's desire is that parents raise their children for His glory and His honor. And if we do that and do it properly, then as we grow older, there'll be joy to our heart and joy to our life. If we don't do the job properly, they won't bring Him honor and glory, and they'll break our hearts 10,000 times over. Now I want to just say to all of you that have children tonight, this having kids is not fun and games. It's a great responsibility. And God entrusts nobody else but you with the primary responsibility of bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can't drop them off at a daycare or a Christian school or a church program and expect them to do what mom and dad intended for you to do. So let's listen carefully and learn as young people and as adults. See, God created us. He knows what a young person is. He knows the areas of their immaturities. He knows that they are not fully developed, and their body is not fully developed, and their mind is not fully developed and producing the juices that it needs to produce so they can act right and think right, and sometimes that does not happen until in their 20s. So I want to talk to you tonight for a little while about the days of our youth. Father, help me. I love our people, and I love our church, and I love our children. I love our teenagers, if they'll let me love them. Some don't want the preacher to love them. And that breaks my heart. Help me tonight to be a help to some parents. Lord, it may be those that have teenagers now that are way up in their teen years. It may not be that I can help them much because they've wasted their opportunities. But some of the parents here have great opportunity to train their children, to enjoy them and be able to see them live in such a way to honor God with their life and bring great joy to mom and dad. Now, Lord, help me tonight. Fill me with thy spirit. And I'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in our hearts. And I pray and I beg you tonight, work in our hearts, for it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Having been a youth once, I can vaguely remember it, and having raised three teenagers of my own, having ministered to thousands over 45 years of ministry, I think that I'm a little bit qualified to preach this message. I'll be honest with you, I'd love to return to the days of my early ministry before the sex revolution, before the hippie generation, before the days of dope, filth, rock, free love, new Bibles, live-in lovers, and new age humanism. The ministry was not nearly as complicated then as it is today. Children were not 1/100 as rebellious as today. Parents were actually cooperative with ministry, trying to help their children turn out good and godly. I'm concerned today about the ignorance of both young people and their parents concerning what the Bible says about the rights, the privileges, and responsibilities of children, including teenagers, in the days of their youth. Now, there's a clear and distinct separation in the Bible between parents and teenagers. Now, the line's kind of been blurred in our days because daddies and mamas want to be teenagers again with their kids. And if that's your attitude, you're dumber than a rock. God did not intend for you to be your best teenager's best teenage buddy. God intended for you to be the parent and the guide and the counselor and the guardian of your teenagers. If parents give up their responsibility as parents, the child is left to try to make it through life without the protection and guidance God designed for parents to give. First, allow me to define who the Bible is talking about when it says the days of our youth. In the Bible, the word youth means different things. In one place, it refers to a young person at marriage. It's also used to refer to teenagers. It's used for a lad, young boys and girls. It's used again as a word for a child and again for a baby. So the word youth is speaking about children from birth all the way to the age of 21 or marriage, whichever comes first. And by the way, the Bible does not recognize a 17-year-old who's seeking freedom by emancipation as adults. The Bible's in disagreement with the laws of the land on that position. God has put the child in the days of their youth under the authority and the control of parents for distinct reasons. See, God does not recognize a teenager as an adult. They're still youth in God's eyes, and young people, you can lump it or like it. I'm telling you what God said. You see, the age 21 is what God set aside in the Bible for the Hebrew young people, young men, to be looked upon as a man and no longer as a child, a youth. So that's where we get the age 21. It actually came from the Bible. God intended the days of our youth as a time for growth and learning and personal discipline and maturing, so they'd be able to deal with the pressures and the emotions and the feelings and the responsibilities and the privileges of adulthood. Too many are allowed by parents and society to experiment and experience things with their passions and feelings while in their youth that ought to be reserved only for adulthood. And the results, when we allow our children to play these adult games, the results are glands begin to produce hormones in our body, or that body, that's not emotionally and in some cases physically mature enough to handle them. And as a result, their personality changes, their emotions are messed up, their life begins to get off course and out of balance for a person in their youth. And they become adults that have to go to therapy and hear some humanistic counselor blame parents and religion for being too strict. I'm sick and I'm tired of hearing from teens and adults alike that kids have to be kids and sow their wild oats. Show me that in the Bible. There's no biblical basis for that lie. The truth is, it's demonic. It's satanic. That heresy came out of hell. Certain sins are not permissible for teenagers to commit. The devil is the authority of the lie, that lie. If you allow that lie, if you allow our children to dance, dress immodestly, and go to movies and park and pet and listen to worldly music, then the world says we've robbed them of their youth. That's a lie. We're saving them for their youth. We're saving their life so they can have a life that's not twisted and scarred and marred. Some of you parents don't like what I'm saying right now. And it just shows how far from the Bible we've strayed from the Word of God tonight. I want to give you just two or three thoughts about the rights and responsibilities of a person in the days of their youth. Number one, realize that because of our sin nature, the seed of destruction and rebellion is in every child. Genesis 8:21 says, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from their youth." Now that's what God says. And in every one of our children, I don't care whose children they are, every one of our children have in them the seed of destruction and rebellion. Our children may look like little angels, but in them is that evil seed. God said so. That's the reason we don't have to teach them to do wrong. Lying and cheating and being immoral and rebellious attitudes come naturally to them if they're left to decide for themselves. The evil seed will sprout in time and bring forth its ugly fruit. Our children must be taught, they must be trained to do right, and this book ought to be our guide in training them. It's going to take time more than money. It's going to take patience more than talent. But you'd better be willing to put the time and deal with the patience if you're going to see them become what God would have them be. Our children must be taught and trained to do right. That's the reason the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he gets older, he'll not depart from it. That didn't say if you'll just drop them off at Sunday school or bring them to Sunday school, they'll be all right. It says train them. That is a daily process, not a Sunday morning process. Faulty teaching and training produces faulty results. We're told to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're told to use discipline when it's needed and show love to them at all times. But you better understand the truth that in every one of those children, there is in their heart that evil seed of destruction. And if you don't train them and teach them and nurture them and love them and help them to grow in grace and in faith, then that evil seed will produce its fruit. Second thing I want to say to you is that children are to be led to God in their youth. Stats show that the greatest number of people that get saved between the age of 6 and 12. And the next greatest number is between the age of 13 and 18. That's the reason God said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day comes not. See, in our heart is that evil seed. And if we don't put God in our heart and live by Bible principles to counteract that depraved nature that's in us, and there's going to come a day, an evil day in our life, when we don't care who we hurt and what we do as long as we can have our way. Solomon first gives a warning to children and to those in the days of their youth when he said, O young man, in thy youth, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let the heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. You say, man, that's what I've been telling Mom and Daddy I want to do. Well, remember, God's using irony here. And then he says, but if you do it that way, know this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, I said he's using irony. He's telling us in verse 10 that when childhood and youth are let to follow their fleshly desires and their life, that their life is ultimately wasted. And listen to me, God did not give children the privilege of making that decision for them. God gave that responsibility to parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dear God, I would not send these two boys to Afghanistan to fight the Taliban. They're not trained for it. And yet you raise up your children and send them out in the world in the devil's territory and under his influence and power, and you haven't trained them up in the Word of God so they'll learn how to deal with Satan and deal with sin when he attacks. We're robbing our children of their youth and God's will for their lives if we allow them to do what everybody else is doing. Parents are helping to save the childhood and the days of their children's youth when they train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bible and godly instruction is for their good and for their future. See, the young people are living for today with no thought of tomorrow. That's the reason this isn't developed completely. That's why they think like that. The chemicals that the brain produces that help them to think beyond the now and see the danger of things, it's not working yet. It doesn't start working until somewhere around 20 to 21, 22 years of age. That's the reason you were dumber than a rock when it came to things like that as a teenager, and I was dumber than a rock. I got on bulls and rode them as a teenager. That's dumber than a rock. I didn't see the danger. I just saw the thrill. Bible and godly instruction is for their good and their future. The boundaries and restrictions are for their safety. You say, but my kid is mature for his age. It's not just the kids that need instruction. Well, I trust my children. Wait a minute. They're your children, remember? They've got your genes. My wife, you say, honey, I trust my girls. I said, but honey, they're your girls, remember? Wild, wicked she was. Man, I like to never tamed her. Look at her. Don't she look wild and wicked? Huh? What are you laughing at, Brother Hall? The boundaries and restrictions are for their safety. Are your young people going to like them? Probably not, while in the days of their youth. But there'll come a day they'll thank you and God for them when they're mature and have a chance for a good life and a good marriage of their own. Let me read you this that was given to me to read. It says, Dear Dad, I didn't get a chance to write you a note when I sent you your Father's Day gift, so I thought I'd write you now. Here's a short list of things I'm thankful for. Thank you for giving me back to the Lord the day I was born. Thank you for making faithfulness to church a normal part of our lives. Thank you for your example in serving the Lord. Thank you for putting God first, but not putting the ministry before your family. Thank you for teaching me how to win souls. Thank you for the piggyback rides to Devil's Lookout. Thank you for carrying me to bed till my head and feet drug each side of the hall. Thank you for letting me sit in your lap when I was little and when I was big. Remember the night I became engaged? I was sitting in your lap before he came to pick me up. Thank you for the vacations to Carlsbad Caverns and White Sands, New Mexico. Thank you for the whitewater rafting in Montana. And thank you for the camping trips to Paladura Canyon. And thank you for Six Flags. And thank you for the trip to Disney World. And thank you for horseback riding in Oklahoma. And thank you for horseback riding in Wyoming. And thank you for letting me rub your earlobes all the way on those long road trips. Thank you for all the swing sets you put together. And thank you for the little electric organ that you thought was a good trade for my favorite red fire truck. Thank you for the BB gun and teaching me how to shoot. Thank you for all the times we shot locusts out of trees. Thank you for letting me shoot with you and your friends until I outshot both of you. Thank you for letting me be your shadow when you picked up guests. Thank you for taking me fishing. Thank you for taking me golfing one time. You didn't think it'd be fair to the greens to bring me back. Thank you for teaching me how to play softball and playing catch with me many times. Thank you for teaching me how to drive on the country roads. Thank you for the basketball games you came to cheer me on. Thank you for the corsages you pinned on my dress and you only drew blood once. Thank you for the hard times you always gave my dates. If they looked pale, I'd scratch them off my list. Thank you for the security I felt in your love and never felt the need to seek it from some boy. Thank you for being fun. Thank you for raising the light fixture when I became engaged. Thank you for my first car. Thank you for taking me to get my first loan to buy my next car. Thank you for the gumball machine you bought me when you found I was too bashful to ask for a penny. Thank you for loving my husband and for filling a void in him. Thank you for loving my children and for being a great example to them. Thank you for loving my mother and the security that brought to our home. Thank you for staying strong in your stand and conviction when most of your peers weakened over the years. Thank you for being my hero. And thank you for being my dad. I love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Now that's the kind of letters you want to get. Instead of, no need of looking for me, I've run away. I'm tired of the restrictions. And by the way, if you have restrictions without relationship, you're going to have runaway kids. You better make time to spend with them. You better show them love. You better learn how to laugh with them and have fun with them. And by the way, you don't have to cancel time in ministry to do it. You don't have to forsake God and the church to do it. The fact is, if you're going to do it right, you're going to need a double dose of God in the church. Listen to some of the responsibilities of the youth. The Bible says children are to listen to the instruction of their parents. Do you hear that, kids? You say, they talk all the time. Then you're supposed to listen all the time. Wait until you know something to speak up. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instructions of a father and attend to no understanding. Proverbs 5:1-2, my son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that my lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 7:24, hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Children are to listen to the instruction of their parents. It'd probably give them a heart attack. But you want to know what you ought to say once in a while? Would you say that again? I don't want to miss it. Now, have 911's number handy. But children are to listen to the instruction of their parents. Secondly, children are to obey their parents. Say, preacher, that's what I don't like about this church, all your rules. Hey, that's not mine. God said this. Children are to obey their parents. I'm for God, too. I agree with God. See, that's some of your problem. You don't. Children are to obey their parents. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You see, God knows if you don't obey your parents in the days of your youth, when you're supposed to love them and they're to stand there in a great sense in your life like God will one day be in your life when you're an adult. God knows if you don't listen and obey your parents, you're not going to listen and obey Him either. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Thirdly, children are to honor their parents. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And that promise is if you honor your parents, God will bless you with long life. That word honor means to reverence and respect and treat with dignity. You say, they don't deserve it. God didn't say if they deserved it. They're your parents. Honor their children are to honor their parents. It means to give honor to them and live in such a way to bring honor to their name. It means to protect and care for them when they cannot care for themselves. Then fourthly, children are to turn to God in their youth. Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, not when you're 30 and 40 and 50, while you're a young person, some of the greatest Christians I've ever known have been young people. My wife's flying out tomorrow to go to California to speak in a woman's conference at Hopewell Baptist, Lord's National Woman's Conference. Young man that's a pastor there at Hopewell Baptist. Got saved the second Sunday I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. God called him to preach. And that was as good a Christian young man as I've ever known. I would to God I had adults that were as strong for Christ as he was as a teenager. Turn to God in their youth and serve Him. And then children are to be in subjection to their parents. And you know, over in Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy verse 12, it says, let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. And in verses previous to that, says to a pastor, their children are to be in subjection to the pastor. Now listen to me. God did not say when you become a pastor or a deacon. He's saying this ought to be true in your Christian life when you're chosen to be a pastor or deacon. So what God is saying is that children are to be in subjection to their parents. This is the normal for parent-child relationships. Then quickly, children in the days of their youth are to be an example to be an example Christian. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Did you hear that? Be thou an example of the believers. When? Thy youth. While you're in your youth, be thou an example of the believers. And he tells us how we're to be an example. In word, that's our speech. In conversation, that's our conduct, our walk, and our dress. In charity, that's in our love and benevolence to others. In our spirit, that has to do with our attitude and disposition. We're to be an example of believers in our faith. That's our belief and our convictions that hold us. An example of believers in purity. That's chasteness, godliness. Has to do with one's relationship with the opposite sex. God has some very distinct things to say about the days of our youth. And it probably doesn't bother me nearly as much that children today are doing what's coming natural. Because children have always done what comes natural if left to themselves. What bothers me today is mom and daddy seem to be encouraging it or ignoring it or helping them. And that's disgraceful. I'm grateful that I had a daddy. Didn't know much about the Bible. But he knew that we ought not run around naked. He knew what was right and wrong when it came to human relationships, boy-girl relationships. And I'm glad that my daddy was not intimidated by me as a teenager. See, that's the problem some of you have. You're intimidated by your kids. You're afraid they won't like you. I never worried about liking or disliking Daddy. I was just always praying he'd stop right before death. Let me give you a final warning and I'm through. Isaiah 30, verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children. Now, when you see that woe in the Bible, it means something bad's about to happen. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That word woe means judgment's coming. Woe, you better stop. When we said woe to the horse, we meant stop. Stop. God is saying woe because you're about to go too far. Woe. You're about to face judgment. If parents do not do their job training and bringing our children up for the Lord in their youth, then God warns us of coming certain judgment on parents' lives and the lives of their children. In the days of our youth, what a privilege we have to raise children. Don't take it lightly. Don't play carelessly with it. You're going to stand before God and give an account to whether or not you raised them by this or you didn't. And God's not going to accept your ideas and philosophies as superior to His Word. Father, we talk about the terrible loss in these days of the economic uncertainty. Lord, the stock markets have plunged and people have lost thousands of dollars. Before I could get my retirement stopped, half of it was lost. But Lord, that is nothing to compare to the loss of one of our children when we did not do our job as we ought to have done it. When we neglected our responsibility, we did not give the time and the discipline and the teaching, build a life that's exciting and fun and encouraging. They went off and found someone else. God, help us. Help us not to sin away our opportunity with our children. Help us not to be careless and lose them to the devil or to the world. Help us to be diligent in raising them and training them so that one day they might look at us and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for not bending to my wishes. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to a good life without shame and scars and heartaches. God, help us to learn and help us to do for the sake of our children and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.